Thankful that we come here this morning. And Lord, the truth is we don't come here bringing anything. Lord, we come here as broken people, as stumbling people, as wounded people, as hurting people, as confused people. God, and we come here and we come here to meet with you. Jesus, we need you more than ever. We confess and profess, Lord God, that you are the one that does all things. As we come here this morning, God, some of us need confidence. We're just struggling. We're torn down. We're beat up. We're hurting, God, and we just need confidence. We need confidence in you, confidence to walk the path, Lord God. Some of us need hope. We're going through tough seasons. Maybe it's a storm we're walking through, God. Maybe it's a season. Maybe it's a long season. And we just need hope, God, that you're there, you're in it, that you're going to bring good out of what we're facing. God, some of us need conviction. We're in the midst of something, and we're not cut by it. We're not torn by it, God. We just keep going down a place we ought not to go down, and some of us need to be convicted, God. Your spirit needs to bring pain and hurt to our hearts to realize, God, you've got something better for us. God, some of us need to experience your love. Some of us feel abandoned. We feel alone. We feel lost. We feel like no one sees us. No one cares. No one knows where we're at, God. And today, we just need to hear you say, I love you. God, whatever each of us needs this morning, God, may you, by your Spirit, speak that word into our hearts. May shackles be broken. May wounds be bounded up. May hearts be transformed, God, this morning by your word, by your power, by what you do, Lord God. We humbly kneel before you. God, we're here to meet with you this morning, Jesus. Thank you in your name. Amen. And then go ahead and grab a seat. Good morning. All right, let me grab this real quick. Hey, a couple things before we jump into stuff here. I want to mention, last Sunday I mentioned that Roberta Coles, who was part of our church, and Glenn Coles, her son, both passed away this last summer. Very sad with that. The good news is their family was able to put together a service. I know at short notice, wish maybe a little bit longer, but it's actually this next Saturday, October 2nd at 2 p.m. here at the church. So if you knew Roberta or Glenn, and you would like to come, 2 p.m. will be a service here where we'll celebrate and remember the life of Roberta and Glenn. So I want to invite you to join us for that, followed by a short reception downstairs in the basement. I want to say, number two, also, you've heard us talk a lot about this peak assessment we're in, right, as a church. You got an email last Monday with a survey. We are kindly, lovingly asking you to please make a priority to fill that out. Be a huge blessing. Our leadership team this week all filled it out, so we're in. We've done it. We're asking you to join us in that. It's through October 9th, so please don't procrastinate. You do have some time, but please do it soon. We're looking forward to get the results back from that and really going to help us kind of get a bigger picture of our church. We long to be God's church in West Seattle. We long to be filled with the Spirit. We long to figure out how we can do things better, where areas where God's moving, we want to join him, all different kinds of stuff. So please make an effort to fill that out. Also, if you're not comfortable with the online version, there are paper copies on the Connect desk back there. You can grab on your way out, fill it out, and give it to our office, and we'll submit it for you. Okay, last thing really quickly is next Sunday, we're going to launch into our new sermon series, Going Through the Book of Malachi. Excited about this. I've been planning it for a while, and I have a really cool thing to share with you. We have created a Bible study resource for you to accompany the whole series. So we put together a study that tracks every Sunday the passage that we're going to be going over in this book. Next Sunday, we'll have all these sitting on the Connect desk. Every week, it has a summary of the passage we're going through. It has study questions for you. So this can be for your own use at home during the week. It could be in your community group, whatever you like. But it's a study that accompanies our Malachi series. We haven't done this before, and it's our first time, and I'm super excited that we can give this to you and put this in your hands. So next Sunday, they'll all be on the Connect desk. Grab it on your way out. It's free. It's a free resource. Grab it, and you can use it in our series. Okay, let's jump in here. We are kind of in the middle of these two series. We did Gospel of Mark for a while, Malachi coming up. And these 2 weeks right here is our vision series. And we're looking as we look ahead as a church and kind of where God is taking us and some ways that we want to be helping to facilitate that. And so the title of the message is the same as last week, actually, A Vision, A Map, and A Mighty God, Part 2. Part 2. So this is the next one. So we're going to walk through that today. And if you were not with us last week, what I want to say is this, is we talked about this idea that God wants to make bigger Christians more than a bigger church. God is looking more to make deep-rooted Christians that are bigger Christians more than a bigger church. And we talked about that, right? We're not simply looking to make a larger church with larger programs and all kinds of things, but bigger Christians, right? And the definition I gave of that last week, if you remember it, right, was this: deeply rooted, gospel-formed, Jesus-centered, Bible-obeying, followers, not fans, who make an impact for Christ. Whew, it's a long definition, right? But that's what we're aiming for. Deeply rooted, anchored, gospel-formed by Christ, Jesus-centered, Bible-obeying, followers, not fans, who make an impact or influence for Christ. Now, I just want to say, maybe some of you hear that and are overwhelmed and say, wow, that sounds much bigger or more than where I'm currently at. That's okay. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we're going to talk about a plan we have to grow us and help us as we develop into bigger, more deeply rooted Christians. And so in your bulletin, you got, if you want to look in there, there's an insert, and it's our discipleship pathway. And this is what we're going to talk about. You can look in your bulletin right there. And last week, what we talked about was the four C's, right? The four C's, right? And these are come, connect, cultivate, catapult. These are the four processes or stages we want everyone at Arbor Heights to walk through together. And last week, we talked about come and connect, right? And then this week, we're going to talk about cultivate and catapult. Right, and so come and connect. Last week was come. We want people to come to Arbor Heights, find a place where they're welcome, where they're growing in their faith. We want people to come as they are. Some of us are looking into being a Christian. We're not there yet. We're checking it out. We're interested, and we're thinking about it. Some of us have just begun the journey with Jesus. It's brand new. Some of us are 60 years on the road with Jesus on the journey. No matter where you're at in the journey, everyone's welcome here. Everyone is welcome at Arbor Heights to be a part of it. So I want you to come. Then the second thing we want you to do at Arbor Heights is to connect. And two things. One, get connected to other people. Build meaningful relationships. Get plugged into a community group. Start doing life with other people. The second thing is get connected to the church. Who we are, what's our mission, what's our vision, where are we going, all those things. You can do that at our welcome lunch we talked about. We have a welcome lunch we do. Also a membership class. We'll talk about that later. We have, and so those are a couple ways to get to come and then to get connected. But today, we're going to talk about the second ones, cultivate and catapult. But I just want to say one quick thing before we jump into that. I just want to say this. We can do all the plans and strategies we want, and at the end of the day, that does not grow someone to be more like Jesus. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. That is God's word doing a work in someone's heart. That is the body of Christ coming together and helping each other grow in our faith. Just because we have a plan doesn't automatically mean people grow. It's God's work inside a person for that. So I just want to be clear. We are praying and depending and asking the Holy Spirit to move on us, the church, and to move on us, each person individually. And so it's not just plans. It's the Holy Spirit and plans together to grow. So I want to jump on this first one. Cultivate. What does it mean, cultivate? This is the meat and potatoes, I would say, of our strategy, okay? This is where a lot of it happens. You've come to Arbor Heights for a season. You've been coming, checking it out, coming. Now you've gotten connected. You've met some people, connected with some people. You know about the church, that stuff. And now you're saying, you know what? Arbor Heights is home. I want to call Arbor Heights home. It's a place for me, for my family, for my spouse, whoever, for me. And I'm going to get connected and plugged in. And now we're in cultivate. And in cultivate, I want to give you two pictures to help kind of show you this, okay? And the first one is this, is who has here heard of a trellis? You know what a trellis is? Some of us, yeah, a trellis. A trellis is, we may have a picture. I don't know if we have that picture. Okay, all right. Well, you're just going to have to go with me describing it. So a trellis is basically a plant. And if you've, you know, if you're gardeners out in your garden, there's a plant and you plant a large plant. When it gets growing, especially a vine type of plant, you need some structure for it to actually grow against, right? You've seen these that are kind of a checkered board that maybe goes up on the side of a house or out in a garden. And if whether it's green beans or whether it's a vine or something, it's growing up the side of that trellis, it's called. Everyone tracking with this now? Okay. Yeah, so there's that trellis and the vine's there and it's there. And if the trellis is not there, what happens? Well, that vine doesn't grow, or else it kind of grows up and then it just goes and it goes down and it starts growing all over the ground and it causes problems at other plants and all those kinds of things, right? So you need a trellis to give it some structure. You need the trellis to give it some support so it can actually achieve all that God designed that plant to be. It needs that, right? So we actually have one sort of right out here on our patio. If you walk out today out the back and go on our patio right there, the patio has a fence around it. It's a wire fence. You've seen that probably. And on the other side of it, on that side, there is a vine down there actually. And it's so funny, this whole summer, the vine didn't grow at all. I was thinking, gosh, what's wrong with our vine? I asked one of the guys in our church. I'm like, what's wrong with that vine? It's not growing. And he said, just wait. Just wait. And so nothing happened. About 3 weeks ago, I come out my door and look, and this thing exploded. It is taking off. And if you go outside a day, you can look, and it's already spreading on the fence out there. And that fence is acting as a trellis. It's a trellis. It's a structure for that vine to grow so it doesn't grow into my house. All right, that's what it's for. So it's growing. It's providing a support structure for it to do that. Here's my question for you. Does a trellis make plants grow? Does it make plants grow? No, it doesn't make plants grow. We all know that, right? What does make plants grow? Well, sun and water and fertilizer, those kind of things make it grow, right? But a trellis provides the structure. So a trellis doesn't make it grow, but it needs it in order if it's really going to grow up into who it's going to be. Why am I talking all this gardening talk for us? Here's my point. At Arbor Heights Community Church, our ultimate goal is to grow the vine, not the trellis. Our ultimate goal at Arbor Heights is to create trellises for the simple sake that there's structures and ways to grow our faith. But at the end of the day, we want to grow vines. We want to grow big, strong, healthy vines that can replicate into other vines. That's what we want to do at Arbor Heights. And what trellises are in the church context, they're just all the things that we do. It's a Sunday morning. It's a ministry event. It's a program. It's a kids group. Hey, there we go. There it is. Thank you, sound booth. Let's give these thank you. Yes. There it is. You guys see it now? Okay, there's the trellis. Amen. So yeah, so we got the trellis. Right? And in the church context, like I said, it's all those things, right? But here's the thing. Those things don't make Christians grow. Simply coming to a Sunday service right now, just by itself, doesn't make you grow any closer to Jesus. You can come to every Sunday of the year, 52 Sundays, and get no closer to God. Do you know that? It doesn't just by coming in a building somehow spiritually change you, right? But it's a trellis. It's a structure. It's a thing that we can help so we can encounter Jesus in that. If you were with us last week, you remember I brought up this report. There was a church in Chicago called Willow Creek Church, massive, huge mega church. Back in the early 2000s, they were probably the biggest church in America, 30,000 people in the church. It was like a city. There, and they did this report after being a church for 25 years. And they said, you know what? We've grown massive. We have a lot of big trellises, a lot of big buildings and programs and volunteers and staff and all this stuff. But are people actually growing? Are we building bigger vines? And they did this whole report, and they came out, and at the end of the day of the report, and the lead pastor came out and said, no, we haven't. And he said, quote, we've made a mistake. Actually, he looked back and said, we, the whole time, were building a bigger church, but we weren't building bigger Christians. Pretty tragic, isn't it? Pretty tragic that you could build a big church and then realize you weren't building bigger. You could build awesome trellises, huge, beautiful, wonderful, amazing trellises with a tiny little vine. But that's not the goal, right? The goal is a vine. But here's the thing. It's so easy to do that as a church, isn't it? It's so easy for churches to build big trellises and miss out on what's actually behind it. And this is the thing. Why is that? Because it's measurable and it's visible, right? Everyone can see your building getting bigger. Everyone can see your crowd getting bigger. Everyone can see your ministry is getting bigger. Everybody can look at your financial statements and look at your budget getting bigger. And the faulty assumption that we make all the time is these bigger trellises mean success. Bigger trellises mean more success. But think about Willow Creek Church. 25 years, and they look, and what would you think? Wow, what a successful church. Look at the size. Look at the people. Look at the budget. Look at all the cool things they're doing in their community. Look at all that stuff. And then they do a report and come away from it and say, oh my gosh, essentially we failed. We have totally missed the mark for 25 years. We built big trellises, but we didn't build bigger Christians. It's so easy to fall into this. But as I look at the Bible, and the pattern I see is God oftentimes doesn't work this way. Right? God doesn't work this way, right? Success comes in the Bible in ways you would never expect it. Isn't that true? Right? Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. You want to be strong, you need to be weak. Jesus says, if you want to find your life, you have to lose your life. Right? He says, Jesus picked 12 guys who would be his ambassadors to change and shape the entire world with no training whatsoever. God picks the lowly things, the weak things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. I mean, for crying in the night, the cross, the center of our faith, where the ultimate victory is found, is when Jesus died on a cross. What utter failure. It looked like everything was lost. Jesus died on the cross. But it was the very point where God won, wasn't it? That just speaks volumes into us as churches and people. Think of the mustard seed example Jesus gave, right? Jesus said that actually the planting of a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, is the one that actually has the most potential for growth. The one that nobody would pick, nobody would think of, and it's the one. So I say all this just that we need to be careful as a church. We don't big trellises. In the process, we build tiny vines. I want to give you one more picture to kind of help just kind of drive this home. And it's this picture. You've seen out in the water on the ocean a sailboat or a sail ship, right? We've all seen that. A boat with all the masts that are sticking up, right? And you see it out there and it's not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden the people on the boat go over and they hoist up the sails, right? And the sail goes up and the sail expands and the wind hits it and the sailboat takes off, right? It starts moving. Here's my question. What made that sailboat move? The sail or the wind? The wind, isn't it, right? I mean, you could stick your sail up, even do that. If there's no wind, it's not going anywhere, right? But here's the problem. How will you ever catch the wind if you never put up your sail? If you make a great mast and a great boat, but you never get your sail up, how will you catch the wind? And the same goes to church. If you never put your spiritual sail up, how will you ever allow God to do something in your life? If you don't put a sail up, if I don't put some trellises up, how will I ever get God to do something? To fill my sail and to move in that sail. My point is this. Let's not get sucked into building bigger trellises, Arbor Heights, and not build bigger vines. And not build bigger Christians. The second thing I want to say, and then I'm going to give some very practical things, Arbor Heights, that we think are important, that are the trellises or sails like that. So here's the second one. What are we trying to grow each of us into? What are we actually going to grow people into here at Arbor Heights? And this is a very simple answer. It's not complicated, and it simply boils down to one verse in the Bible. Galatians 4:19. My dear children, says Paul, for who I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed into. Paul looks at the church and says, listen, every night, every morning, as I pray, as I toil, as I run, as I work, as I preach, it all is for one goal, and that's that Jesus would be formed in your life. It's that your life would more and more and more resemble Jesus. What he's saying is this, is that working towards Jesus would have complete control of every area in my life. That's my desire. That's our desire here at Arbor Heights. That's what we're aiming at. Jesus Christ would have control, complete control of every area in your life. Now, I know hearing that, all of us are thinking, well, Johnny certainly doesn't. I would say he doesn't. We can all acknowledge he has maybe control in some areas, but I wouldn't say all. And to be honest, when Jesus has all control, that will be called heaven. when he has all control of everything in my life. But we want to strive for that, amen? I hope that in our hearts as a church, we're longing to say what Paul says. Yeah, I long for Jesus to have control of my life. I long to be a mom or dad who says, Jesus, I long to have my kids see Christ in me. I'm a spouse that says, I long for my spouse to see Jesus come out in my life. I am a business owner. I long for my staff to see Christ in my life. I'm a teacher. I'm a worker. I'm a dentist. I long for my colleagues, for my clients, for my customers, all to see Christ in my life. That's what we long for, isn't it? Jesus to be formed in every single one of us. That's what we're aiming for. That's why we're doing trellises. That's why we're putting up sails, is so Christ be formed in our hearts. Let me move to then, okay, what are the practical things in our pathway that we want for each person here? And I'm just going to list off, these are trellises, these are sails, okay? This is what they are. They are not things that automatically make you grow as a Christian. They're spaces or environments that allow God to work, okay? Here's the first one. Practicing spiritual disciplines for spiritual formation. Spiritual disciplines for spiritual formation. If you're a parent, you're probably very familiar with this, and maybe if not, you're probably somewhat familiar too. A very common thing that happens in students' lives as they make a transition, if they've grown up in a Christian family, from kind of late middle school to high school time, and this is a very common thing, is this transition where they have to move from a faith that oftentimes is what gets called a borrowed faith. And what I mean by a borrowed faith, I mean it's their parents' faith, right? It's my family's faith because my family made me go to church when I was growing up, right? It's my family's faith because they prayed at dinner time, right? Or whatever it is in our family, we talked about Jesus. It's their faith. But they have to make this transition from it's a borrowed faith to my faith, right? And parents, if you've had a child, go through that process, right? And parents are longing for that and praying for that, amen? Gosh, I really hope my child, when they get to college, you know what? Have that conversation. You're going to have to own it. It's going to have to be your faith. Mom and I and dad and I can't force you with that. It's got to be your own. And it's the move from a parent-dependent faith to a personal faith. A parent-dependent faith to a personal faith. And here's my thing. I think it's the same with the church. I think for a number of Christians, I have to move from a church program-dependent faith to a personal faith. I got to move from stop depending on the church to help me constantly grow, and I got to own my own faith. I got to begin to develop myself. In that report that Willow Creek Church did, the lead pastor said, I think one of the big problems we did is we were putting so much focus on all these church programs and ministries and big productions when we should have been teaching people to be self-feeders. That was the word he used. You guys know that word self-feeders? You know what that means? Right? We should have been giving people tools, resources, things they could use, systems, all kinds of things we should have been giving them to help them Monday through Saturday grow in their faith. Things that they should have been using during their week to grow in their faith. And the two fundamentals for that are Bible reading and prayer. At Arbor Heights, that's what we want. We want people in their Bibles and a consistent prayer life. That's what we're looking for. And I want to just focus a little bit on God's word, on this aspect of developing a consistent, healthy reading of God's word and application of God's word in my life. And I want to simply give you kind of an illustration for this. Imagine you have a friend who walks up to you and says, hey, I want to lose a 25 pounds. And you say, great, that's a worthy goal. What's your plan for losing 25 pounds? And they say to you, well, here's my plan. I'm not going to change my diet, and I'm not going to exercise. You say, interesting, tell me more. And they say, well, I'm just going to kind of keep going, and eventually I'm probably going to lose the 25 pounds. What would you say to them? Yeah, you're nuts. You're nuts, right? Why? Why? Because we all know the two pillars of losing weight. You got to change your diet, and you got to work out, right? Those are two fundamental pillars. But somehow in the church, that same logic doesn't seem to apply oftentimes. when we talk about growing in our lives, and then we say, I'm not really in my Bible at all, I'm not really reading my Bible, and I don't have much of a consistent prayer life, but I'm somehow going to grow in my faith. And I think, honestly, it's the exact same answer. That's crazy. That's crazy to think that you cannot be in God's word and not be praying, and somehow you're magically going to wake up someday, and that's so weird. All the fruits of the Spirit are coming out of my life. I'm filled with patience and with grace and with hope and encouragement and joy. That's not going to happen. It doesn't happen unless you get in those two foundational things. And I just want to be clear, this is not a legalistic thing. Don't please hear me trying to harp on a legalistic, if you're not in your Bible every single day, what's something? This isn't a legalistic thing. It's a relationship thing. What do I mean by that? If I love God, if I want more of God in my life, if I want to grow in developing and growing with God, wouldn't I want to read what God says? Wouldn't I want to get to know him better? Wouldn't I want to figure out how to live the life that God wants me to live? It seems like an obvious thing. So it's not a legalistic thing. It's a relationship thing. God, I love you, and I want to be closer to you, so I'm going to read your word. I just want to give you a couple quick things about this to kind of help us all. Here's a couple. First is this. Remember, it's called a spiritual discipline, not a spiritual feeling. It's called spiritual discipline, not a spiritual feeling. What do I mean by that? I will self-acknowledge as your pastor, there are times in the week I wake up in the morning, I do not want to read my Bible. I either had a really bad night's sleep, my day is packed with all kinds of stuff. I either had the previous day just a really bad day, and I wake up and I think, honestly, I don't want to read my Bible today. I'd rather just skip it, get on with my day, right? But what do? I do it. Why? Because it's a discipline. It's a habit you've got to form. It's like brushing your teeth. I don't want to try and minimize it down to that level at there. But my point is that, right, what do you do at night when you get ready for bed? You're tired, exhausted. Do you not brush your teeth? Some of you say yes. That's horrible. No, what do? You brush your teeth. Because why? It's a discipline. It's a habit. And that's what reading the Bible is. There are days you're not going to feel it. There are days you're not going to be excited. There are days you read it and it feels flat and it feels like God said nothing in that day. What do? You keep reading. You get up the next morning, you keep reading. You go to bed that night, you keep reading. You get in your car and drive to work, you listen to it again. You keep on letting God's word do its work in your life. There are firework days, there's valley days, but God's word is the same, amen? And we need God's word to keep on changing and transforming our life. Here's the second thing I'm going to say. The Bible is not a book to be read. It's a God to be encountered. The Bible's not a book to be read. It's a God to be encountered. What do I mean by that? It's not about Bible memorizing. It's not about Bible knowledge. Those are good and helpful trellises to have, but they're a trellis. They're a trellis so that you can encounter God in his word. The point of reading your Bible is to be changed. It's to fall more in love with Jesus Christ. See, Jesus knew this. He said in John 5:39-40 to the Pharisees, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Isn't that sad? Jesus says, "You guys are so incredibly diligent. You're the most hardworking guys I know, but your diligence is misplaced. You think it's all about the Bible and my words and memorizing, and you can quote scripture, you can quote theology, but here's the problem. You don't know me." Wouldn't that be horrible at the end of your life to look back and say, wow, I became an expert on the Bible, but I missed Jesus? I missed the whole point? So let's not miss Jesus by getting caught up in simply just reading. I want to remind you, too, of another great verse, Hebrews 4:12-13. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." The Bible's alive. Why? Because God's spirit is in it. God's spirit has spoken these words. It's alive for me to experience that. The translation I would put on this is, I don't read the Bible so much as the Bible reads me. The Bible exposes my heart. It shows me. The Bible's like a mirror. I put up, I read it, and it tells me about who? about me. And it points me to a Savior. This prayer and scripture, getting a consistent prayer life where I'm developing it both constantly in the day, but then I've got specific times in the day where I'm setting aside to pray. Those are the two foundations of walking with God in our spiritual lives. And so as a church, I want to help you with that. Listen, we have all kinds of resources and tools for you to do that. I know our youth right now are walking through a process called SOAP, S-O-A-P. It's a Bible study tool. And they're learning this. Our youth students are learning how to have a systematic way to study God's word and to hear from God in that. And we have lots of tools. So let us know and we'll help you develop that if you don't have it. Okay, here's second one. Consistent Sunday gathering. We want people to make a priority and habit to be here on Sunday morning. Now, again, this is not a legalistic thing. Don't mishear me. This is not an attendance checking thing throughout the year. That's not what this is about. Right? It's about, again, a trellis to come and be a part of what's happening on Sunday morning, hearing God's word preached, be in community with each other, worship together, see other people. That's what we're doing here. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." He says, let us not give up together, and there's a word that stuck out to me, as some are in the habit of doing. Not just this has become an infrequent thing, it's become a lifestyle where you don't gather with God's people. And what he's saying is, don't let that happen to you. Be a part of God's family. Make it a priority to be here on Sunday. And to be honest with you, in the last 2 years, one of the biggest things that got revealed, I think, to everyone is this. God designed us for community. Amen. It was so abundantly apparent in the last 2.5 years how badly we need each other, how badly we need other people. Because what I've learned is we self-destruct in isolation. We self-destruct in isolation. And we need to be around other people. We need to hear God's word being preached. We need to come and worship together. Those are crucial things for us to happen. So I want people to make Sunday mornings a priority and to be here. I'm not, again, all of us have vacations and sickness and all kinds of stuff. I'm not saying legalistic. I'm saying it's a priority in your life. Number three, doing life in a community group. Sunday mornings are good and wonderful, and we want to do that. But here's the thing. It's hard to go deep with people, isn't it? Right? Rather than rows, we need circles. Circles where we can look at each other around a kitchen table, around a coffee table, some couches, and we can share our lives. And at Arbor Heights, our primary vehicle is community groups for that. We know not everyone it works for, depending on schedules, and if not, we hope a Sunday morning or other ways for that. But we want to get into a group where we can do lives together. We can share our lives, we get to know one, and people know me. So I want to be in a community group. Number four, next one, is become a member. Become a member, right? And what this is if you've been coming to Arbor Heights, come, check Arbor Heights out, be a part of what's going on, learn about who we are, come, get connected with some people and the church. But at some point, if you say, you know what, Arbor Heights is the place for me, we want you to go through our membership class and become a member. Become committed to God's church. This is what you see throughout the New Testament. You do not see Lone Ranger Christians. You see people who are getting plugged into local churches, committing to a local church, and being part of that church. Reminds me, I had a coach in high school, and the coach said to us on our team, he said, listen, he said, if you're going to be all in. If you're going to be all in. What do you mean by that? Well, in the context of our team, it meant if you're going to be on this team, be fully in. Be at all the practices, help invest in your teammates, put in the work outside to do it. In the games, give 110%. Be all in if you're on this. And that's the same thing God says. If you're going to be in, be all in. Don't have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. If you're going to commit to a local body and then get plugged in here at Arbor Heights. Serve, use your gifts, help other people, find community, get plugged in. As I mentioned, our next membership class is coming up on November 19th. I'm not saying that's everyone's next step, but if for you, if you've been here for a while and you're saying, you know what, I think the next step for us is to come and check out what that means to be a member at Arbor Heights. And it's November 19th in the morning. It's a Saturday morning. We have childcare, and we end with lunch together, and we talk about what it means to make that commitment to Arbor Heights Church. The class doesn't commit you to anything. If you come, you could say, you know what? I'm not quite ready for that. Totally cool. What's the next step for you? But we want people to get connected and commit at Arbor Heights. The next one, serve in a ministry, right? Use your gifts, use your talents, use what God has given you to say, you know what? I want to serve and get connected by using those here at Arbor Heights. On our Connect desk over there, there's a card you'll see on the top. It says serve. And on that card, there's like 15 different ministries and ways to get involved here at Arbor Heights. And just grab a card on your way out, look at all those, and say, you know what? What works for me? When you do our membership class, we have you do what's called a SHAPE assessment. And SHAPE is this assessment you do, and it kind of tells you what's your background, what's your gifting, what's your skills, what's your abilities. And then we help you fine-tune to a place where you can serve and you can use your gifts. But we want you to find a place where you can serve and contribute to the ministry. The next one is take our 6-week Disciple Equip class. So this is something our leadership team's going to be walking through this winter and spring of next year. And then we're planning hopefully to roll this out in the fall of next year. And it's a 6-week course that's going to help us kind of build just 101 foundations. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And we're going to do this in our groups, in our classes we have, and we're going to go through as a church. And so we're going to invite you to join us at that. That's going to be coming up later. But that's kind of the 101 piece of being a follower here at Arbor Heights. Next one is this, practice financial stewardship. One of the ways that means I'm in at a church, I'm connected, is I'm financially giving. I'm giving of my financial resources to be a part of Arbor Heights Church. And I just want to say, part of our membership class, we talk about the 3 C's. You're probably noticing a theme here, 4 C's, John, 3 C's. We love C's. So there's the 3 C's in our membership class, and I'll just quickly tell you them. There are. Number one, we want our giving to be cheerful. It comes out of a heart of joy, right? God's done an amazing work in my life. He gave me the greatest gift, his son Jesus. Out of that, I want to give joyfully. It's a joy and a blessing to be able to share my finances and give generously. Cheerful. Number two, consistent, right? We want to develop a habit of giving, not a, hey, this month we're in, whoops, we were gone that month, whatever. This month things changed, we won't really give. No. We want you to build a habit of giving, so that weekly or every week or monthly, you are consistently giving and building that discipline. And then number three, it should be costly. The Bible teaches it should be costly. And the way I would tell you that is this. In your monthly budget, it should make a dent, not a scratch. It should be a dent in your budget. Some of us, that dent looks different for all of us, but it ought to be a dent and not a scratch. Okay, so it needs to be costly. So, okay, those are from practical trellises and sales that we at Arbor Heights are saying we want you to do. We want you to be part of. That's our pathway to help you grow as a follower of Jesus. Okay, here's the second one. I know we're getting late. I'm going to run through it really fast. It's the catapult, right? So come, connect, cultivate and grow, and then catapult and launch. Has everyone in here heard of the phrase failure to launch? Heard that phrase before? Oftentimes referred to young adult men, right? It's predominantly, as psychologists have studied it, predominantly younger men age 18 to 30 is kind of the general range. The failure to launch, also called the Peter Pan syndrome. You guys catch that? Peter Pan, right? The boy who never grew up. And the idea in failure to launch is oftentimes, I shouldn't say oftentimes, sometimes in young men at that age, there's this tendency to keep on staying at home. I'm not getting a job. I'm not going to school. I'm not really growing. I'm not going somewhere. There's no purpose. There's no kind of stepping out. There's no leaving the nest, right? And some of us parents maybe are in this place, and we're praying and hoping for leaving the nest, launching out into what God has for you. And today's message is not about trying to dissect all the reasons for why that happens oftentimes in a young man's life. But here's the thing. I wonder sometimes if that same thing is true in the church. That sometimes in the church, there's a failure to launch. There's staying with me and Jesus for 10, 20, 30 years. And here's my point. For some of us, my faith never gets beyond me. It never gets bigger than me. It never gets bigger than me and Jesus doing this life together. And it starts with me and Jesus doing this life together. It doesn't end with me and Jesus doing this life together. It ends with Jesus doing a work in me so he can do a work through me. So my life can touch lots of other people's lives. That's what God's desire is. That's what God's hope is. That's what God's plan is. And so we want to help in our process. It's not just come, connect, cultivate, period. It's come, connect, cultivate, catapult. We want to help you. Where is God taking you? What is God doing through you? How is God using your gifts and talents to multiply what he wants to do in your life? You may have heard this saying before. The Christian life is a thoroughfare, not a cul-de-sac. It's a thoroughfare, not a cul-de-sac. The Christian life doesn't end with you. It's God wanting to take you and use you and do something bigger. You know, what I find oftentimes at a lot of churches is this. Someone brand new comes to the church. Someone comes to Christ and becomes a brand new Christian. And oftentimes they say, you know what? You should get together with our pastor and he can help you grow in your faith in Christ. What we're going to build at Arbor Heights is someone new comes and they come to Christ and they can go to anybody in the church. And that person can say, can you get together with me? I'd like to help you grow in Christ. That's what we're wanting. That's what I'm hoping. That's the vision. Every single one of us could say, I've been equipped. I've been discipled. I've built my roots deep. I am prepared. I'm ready. I could help anyone grow in their faith. That's what we're wanting. That's what we're wanting to see. And if you're wondering, is that just John's idea that he made up? No. Ephesians 4:11-13, it is he, Jesus says, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Why did God create leaders in churches? Why did he create elders in churches? So they could prepare you. So we could equip you. We could develop you. We could develop all of us so we all can be a part of what's going on. And see, I want to use all my gifts to reach people around us. You remember when Jesus said to his disciples that you will do greater things than me? If you're familiar with that verse in the Bible, it's in the book of John. Jesus says, disciples, you'll do greater things than me. And it's one of those head scratchers a little bit, right? Because you're thinking, greater things than you, you are Jesus. How are we going to do greater things? Well, Jesus was simply referring to numbers. Jesus said, listen, if I don't go away, I'm just one person. I can only do one thing. I can only be with one other person. But if I go away and my Holy Spirit comes, guess what? Now there's 12 of you. And if you 12 go impact another 12, do the quick math, that's 144 people. And if those 144 people multiply 12 other people, that's 1,728. I just did that in my head. That's a lie. That's in my notes. 1,728. Think of that. That's amazing. Arbor Heights, think of the impact we could have if we all are discipled and built up. Think of that. How amazing would that be? 100-some people are equipped, prepared, ready, and say, you know what? I can go out. I want to share my faith. I can help other Christians. I want to live on mission. Think of the impact we could have. Think of all the people in the West Side who need to hear about Christ, and we can all be a part of that. That's what we want to do. We want to catapult. And so just very specifically, what we have is basically two tracks. When we get to come, connect, cultivate, catapult, there's two tracks. Some people might say, you know what? I want to move down the leadership track. And that's what we have. Some of you might say, you know what? I want to be a leader. Whatever place and role that looks like in the church, I want to be a leader. We have a leadership program for you. In fact, we have multiple leadership programs that we have. Maybe someone even aspires to be an elder. We have an elder in training program. We are building a leadership track for those who want to move into different kinds of roles. So we'll help you with that. Or people say, I want to continue on the disciple-making track. That's the other track. I'm not really aspiring to leadership. I just want to keep on growing. Awesome. We're going to keep on pressing you into all the things I talked about and helping you figure out what that looks like at the church. We also have a couple more courses in the future we want to add. Disciple Equip was 101. There will be Disciple Equip 201, 301. Additional courses we'll add to help you in different areas. We want to keep building that up. So at Arbor Heights, you're going down the leadership track or the disciple-making track in that area. But the bottom line is catapulting. We want to be catapulting out for what God has. Okay, that is our 4C discipleship pathway. We want to build bigger Christians, not just a bigger church. If God decides to build a bigger church, praise God for him for that, and I long for that. But we're going to focus on building bigger Christians and let God do the rest. Let's pray together. Lord God, we know this is a challenge, Lord God. I hear this, and I think a lot of us are maybe thinking, wow, this is intense. It's going to be a lot. But God, the reality is, Lord, we have your Holy Spirit. We have your Holy Spirit alive in our church, and this is exactly what you've called every Christian to. This is what it means to be a Christ follower. This is what it means to walk with you, God, in the path you have. And Lord God, I know every single one of us is at a different place. Some of our steps look one way, some of our steps look a different way, Lord God. But in every single one of us, God, what's our next step? What's my next step to grow with you? And just a small step, Lord, it doesn't need to be a massive step. What's the stalled step you're asking me to take that I grow in conformity to you and get more plugged into your church? God, I thank you you've put Arbor Heights in West Seattle. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would use us to impact and transform this community. In your name, Jesus, amen. Let's stand and worship together.